I have not already done to myself. There is nothing you can do that I have not already done to myself. There is nothing you can do that I have not already done to myself. No, there is nothing you can do that I have not already.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, on the internet, on your smartphone, or if you're listening to this on vinyl, I say you're fucking stupid. Welcome to the Dubcast. I'm Matt Ryan from the program with Matt and Ben, and also of Interspecies Wrestling, joined, as always, by my good friend Benjamin Gordon.
Yes, it is I, it is Matt. We are here, not of the program, but of our own volition, and we're here to keep the fans informed. That's what we want to do. We want to keep the fans up to date with what's going on with Interspecies Wrestling. And who better to tell us about Interspecies Wrestling than its head honcho, Mr. Mike Roche. Roche, welcome to the Dubcast.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm pretty well. I'm stoked. I am stoked for September 4th. And that show, only a few matches announced so far, but it might be one of the best wrestling shows we see this year.
Danbury, Connecticut on September 4th. Check out InterspeciesWrestling.com for more information as it becomes available. It'll be around on the internet. You can check out Interspecies Wrestling on Twitter at ISDub. Interspecies Wrestling is on Facebook as well. Am I missing anything else, Rachi?
Man, all I gotta say is it's gonna be a night of firsts even for us. And you know that we're a pretty unique promotion in our own right and everything already. But this show right here is gonna be probably the most unique show we've put on yet. And it's going to be, like I said, a night of firsts. It's going to be awesome. And
will you be
really
booking
looking...
a unicorn?
A unicorn? No.
Why not?
Because that's a stupid question. Come on. Unicorns are gay. I book enough gay gimmicks.
This is true.
He's got a point. GladBad did kind of push the gay quota up.
You got Giant Tiger who kind of meets you halfway.
I kind of think of him as omnisexual, not really hetero, homo. He's kind of omni.
He's trisexual. He'll try anything once.
And then, again, even if he doesn't like it, just because he's a depraved individual. But speaking of Giant Tiger, he is the Interspecies Wrestling Champion, and he won the championship at your 4th anniversary show. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. He won it in a very less than savory manner, but yes, Giant Tiger is the champion.
I'm pretty sure everything about him is less than savory. I mean, if you catch a whiff of his grunt, then you know what I'm talking about. Now, something I've wanted to get from your words before anyone else, someone who might not have heard of Interspecies Wrestling before stumbling onto this Dubcast, if you know, for people who are trying to get other people into Interspecies Wrestling that may not be wrestling fans, that may not understand what it's about, how would you best describe Interspecies Wrestling?
Interspecies Wrestling is the neutral battleground in which many species meet to do battle for interspecies supremacy. I don't know, something like that.
That sounds good to me.
It's a mixture of like wrestling and comedy and wrestling and comedy and like other styles of wrestling. It's like everything you love in the world. Like, you know, do you like funny movies? Yes. Do you like horror movies? Yes. Do you like music? Yes. You know, wrestling, fucking everything, like current events, you take it all, you smash it into a ball, you chuck it in the middle of the ring, you know, let it simmer for a bit. That's Interspecies Wrestling. Booyah.
Beautiful explanation.
I love it. Wham bam, thank you, ma'am. The alcohol brawl, of course, we're talking about the alcohol-infused wrestling match between Giant Tiger and Sexy Eddie, who afterwards realized they were going to become the bestest of friends and formed what is now the feared group known as the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Well, you know, the Giant Tiger, he already started his League of Extraordinary Gentlemen before that, when he had Meatball, the beautiful young whatever the fuck midget. I don't even know what to call this guy. He looks like a somebody who didn't make the cut on Pit Boss or something. Don't you guys find there's like way too many television shows about midgets?
There really are. There's the Half Pint Brawlers, and
I don't give a fuck about midgets making chocolate. I don't care. Like, you know, I don't like chocolate that much, and I hate midgets, so, like, there's nothing making me want to watch that show.
Midget show that I would watch. If we could get a guy that would hunt midgets around the country, if we can get Dog the Bounty Hunter to hunt midgets for sport, I think that would be a midget-based show that I would watch. I would watch that every week.
I don't really like Dog the Bounty Hunter that much either, because I don't like the fact that he's all hardcore and shit when he's hunting guys. He'll be like, I got you, motherfucker, there you are, and he'll chase him down and he'll grab him. Then as soon as he gets him in the car, he talks to him about God and offers him cigarettes. What a fucking pansy.
I seem to remember this reality show a while back that it was like, can this do more than this? And it was, can an elephant pull a plane faster than 100 midgets? Oh. And I'm pretty sure the elephant destroyed the midgets.
I wish something would destroy midgets, and I mean every single fucking midget in the world.
If you give me 55 coat hangers in a week, I think I can get it done.
Wow.
Midgets are like God's running joke. I swear to God, like I'm not a huge believer in God, but you know, there's got to be something that's making people, because we're not all, you know, cut from the same cloth. We're not all cookie cutter and shit. So there's got to be something up there, like, molding what people are going to look like. And I think every once in a while he gets bored and he puts one in a vice and just compresses the motherfucker and throws him to Earth.
You know, people are looking at, for human evolution, and I think the closest that we're going to get is the midget, because they do have three legs.
Oh, that was a terrible joke.
You know, I hate midgets, and probably about as much as I hate fish, so you know that somewhere out there there's a midget mermaid wanting to kick my fucking ass.
Speaking of fish, a sea creature has recently joined the ranks of interspecies wrestling. Can you tell us a bit more about Bastion Snow?
He wrestled his first interspecies wrestling official match at the Warped Tour back on July 11th, or was it 10th, I'm not even sure. And then a week later, he competed in the Clash NCPCI something tournament alongside Twiggy in a losing effort to the Power Rangers. But he will be making his Connecticut debut, which he was supposed to make last Connecticut show against Frankie Arion, against Dasher Hatfield, in what a match that we dubbed the New England Classic, only because it's a match composed of things that people from New England love, that being seafood and fucking baseball.
And that'll be an interesting match. But I think the big match, that the other match that has been announced so far for the next show is what people are really going to be interested in seeing. Zombie versus Zombie, which has been done many times, but this is very unique. It's the first time. I don't think it's ever been done anywhere in the world of professional wrestling. It's Last Zombie Standing.
You know, you can call it Last Zombie Standing or Last Man Shambling. Either way, there's nothing pretty about this match. It's going to be two zombies getting in there one-on-one, and they're just going to fuck each other up and try to cave each other's skulls in, because everybody knows you got to crush the brain to crush the ghoul, and that's exactly what these guys are looking to do.
It's strange. You've never really seen a lot of zombie versus zombie contact, except for interspecies wrestling, where these two, I would say they have a blood feud, except they don't really have a lot of blood in their bodies.
No, they come dust.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
I'm just really surprised that both zombies have signed on to a match where one of them will not walk out of it undead. This is the finality of it all.
You know, zombies aren't self-thinkers. They have one-track minds. They want brains, brains, brains. So they don't really sign anything. You just kind of shove them in the direction and basically just point to the other guy and be like, kill him. And, you know, that's what they do. That's how you book a zombie.
Do you pay them in brains, or is there like some sort of weird bartering system that you have to go through to get a zombie for ISW?
I can't discuss that at all. You'd have to discuss that with their zombie manager and witch doctor in charge, Gorelust.
I will send him an email regarding that, because that's one of the things that I've wanted to ask you for a long time, ever since we've come in contact over ISW. You have pandas, you have homeless people, you have zombies. Do they take currency, or is there like some sort of bartering system that you have to go through?
Well, you know, it depends on the person, the species, the whatever, you know, like the panda, you know, you pay him in bamboo and you know, freedom, because otherwise he's, you know, held up in a zoo in Japan and he's owned by China and he actually has no freedom.
Jeez.
And,
wow.
You know, at least for about 8 minutes every ISW show, he gets to jump in that ring, fuck somebody up, get paid in bamboo, maybe fuck a hooker, and, you know, life is good.
I want to be a panda now.
I thought you were. But, panda fucking aside, Mike Roach, Exact Change Only is your third show in the United States. It'll be your second show at the Heirloom Arts Theater. What is your opinion of the Heirloom Arts Theater from the first show we had, Slamtasia 3, back in April?
Well, it feels like home, you know, like our home venue in Montreal is Fufuna Electric, and it's the same kind of venue, like an indie/metal/punk club, and it's got the same kind of atmosphere that the Heirloom's got. But the Heirloom's got a much bigger backstage area, so the guys are very, very happy with the place as well. You know, you don't have to mix species back there. Like before, our backstage area was so fucking small that we'd have, like, the zombie sitting next to the panda sitting next to the cow. And, like, the cow hates everybody, so he doesn't want anybody to sit next to him. And if you sit next to him, you can't touch him, because if you touch him, he's gonna fuck your day up.
I have problems with that cow aside, fucking terror.
The bigger backstage area, we have separate rooms, you know, and you know, we could separate the zombies in one room and one in one room, one in the other, and you know, shit like that.
It definitely seems to make for a little bit more peace before the mayhem takes place.
Well, yeah. Because if there's a fight, you know, I'd rather it take place in the ring. That way it gets filmed and, you know, it could be sold.
Absolutely, because this is all about getting the people to see the carnage that they wouldn't see anywhere else. Now, this is again, the third show we've mentioned this before that's happening in the United States, in the state of Connecticut. The first time you were in Connecticut, it was an outdoor show. Interesting things going on. You know, there was a bunkhouse brawl. There was a triple threat match. There was a Michael Jackson in tribute. So from that first show in the United States going into the second one, just to get a little bit of background, what were you looking when you were, you know, had that first show in the books, the worst that could happen in Connecticut? What were you looking to do to upgrade when you were going into Slamtasia 3?
Definitely a better venue, which I believe we have found.
Absolutely.
As the first venue, when we arrived, the people were nice. They just, you know, they weren't on the ball. There was no light bulbs in the venue at all. We had to go out and spend an extra $300 on lighting. And just the fact that they didn't even know if the electricity was going to work. They told us, oh, a tree fell on the venue last week. Well, shouldn't you have fucking called us and told us this, you know, with, you know, like the down payment or whatever, like, The deposit was already put on the venue, so, like, you knew that we were having a show there, and you knew that we were selling tickets, you knew that we couldn't fucking cancel it. So, for us to go in there that day and be told, oh, the power might not work, what the fuck, like, what are you thinking, really?
Seriously, that's definitely something you don't want to hear. You know, when you're not only making your first debut in the venue, but your first debut, you know, your debut in the entire country.
Exactly, like... Like, you know, that show itself was just, you know, it was just, like, popping our U.S. cherry.
Right.
And we just wanted to get through that show, have it deemed a success so we can go on to the next one. And we did go on to the next one, and we deemed that one as a success as well, but even a bigger success, because not only did it draw more people, but the venue itself was better. The people who worked there were very cooperative, and it was just a damn good time. And I'm looking very much forward to the next one.
Absolutely. As are we. We're going to be there. We hope you all the people that are listening to the Dubcast are going to be there. September 4th at the Heirloom Arts Theater in Danbury, Connecticut. Again, go to interspecieswrestling.com for the information about that. Now, one thing we wanted to accomplish with this Dubcast is to get people, you know, to know more about interspecies wrestling that they may not have before. And one of the people that we haven't really touched on much yet is Stinky the Homeless Guy. What can you tell the people about Stinky the Homeless Guy that they wouldn't know if they haven't seen interspecies wrestling?
Well, if you have seen interspecies wrestling and you've only seen it on DVD, you can't actually smell him because they haven't invented smell-o-vision yet, but Stinky actually does stink. You know, that's not just a lovable little name for him. The man smells like goat cheese and tuna, and it's just awful. And aside from that, he's actually a very pleasant young man. He was discovered by Flip D. Berger when he was looking for a partner in an impromptu tag match. He went backstage and nobody would accept his invitation to be his partner, so he wandered outside and he found a little homeless man with a sign that said, "We'll wrestle for food," you know, conveniently. Brought him in, and the rest is history. Paid him in a Happy Meal. Stinky is basically the homeless hitman. He'll take on anybody as long as they give him something to eat.
The homeless hitman, I like that.
So, been called the homeless heartthrob, because back in the day, Stinky used to draw about 30 attractive young ladies who were completely ignorant to the fact that he is actually homeless and wanted to suck his smelly dick.
Really?
Wow. Just goes to show you, folks, you don't have to be good smelling to get laid.
It's true.
It helps, but, you know, if you're Stinky the Homeless Guy, you don't have to have a roof to get laid.
I was going
to
say, Ben... What does that say about us then? We the homeless dudes are getting blown and they smell like goat cheese and tuna, and we bathe regularly. I don't know about you, but at least I do.
They beat people up. That's what's up with Stinky the Homeless Guy. He beats people up, holds out his hat, and people like him enough, like the fact that he beat people up well enough that they stick money in his hat so he can go, you know, buy, you know, a rose.
He's got a pretty nice smile as well.
That too. He is a handsome fellow for a guy with shit all over his face.
The homeless heartthrob, man.
Now, Mike Rodge, you've been saying that this will be the biggest show and the most interesting show in the history of interspecies wrestling. Is there anything you can possibly hint to that, aside from Zombie versus Zombie and aside from the New England Classic, what else will there possibly be to make Exact Change Only the most interesting show in ISW history?
Well, I can tell you right now that negotiations are underway to make the main event a first interspecies wrestling, and it's going to be the biggest thing we'll ever promote, probably. If we could get Giant Tiger and his League of Extraordinary Gentlemen to agree, you know, we'll see. You know, I'll hopefully have this match signed by week's end and have it announced, and then the tickets will be flying like a motherfucker. So you want to buy your tickets right now, interspecieswrestling.com. Use your PayPal account. Send us money. You know, first dibs. Good shit. But yeah, it's going to be big. The main event's going to be huge. We got a live band performing as well.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's one thing we've never done before. You know, we've always had the party atmosphere, but now we're taking it up a notch. And, yeah, you know, with interspecies wrestling, the show starts the second you get in the door. It's not when the bell rings. You know, the show usually starts the second you get in the door. You got interactions in some way with somebody and who is part of the show, and it just takes it up to, like, a new level. And it's just, you know, it's a unique experience.
And the only way you can experience it yourself is if you're there. So buy your tickets again, interspecieswrestling.com. And check out the DVDs if you want a little bit of a refresher. SmartMarkVideo.com, FortuneVideoEditing.com. Look up Interspecies Wrestling on YouTube. And again, keep listening to the Dubcast. We're gonna keep doing these leading up to Exact Change Only on September 4th at the Heirloom Arts Theater in Danbury, Connecticut. Guys, what'd you think of the first show so far?
I approve. I hate you, but I like Mike Rodge and I love ISW.
I love everybody, and I love that, you know, we have this outlet. The internet is an amazing thing, folks.
All right, for Matt Ryan and for Mike Rodge, this is Ben Gordon signing off for the first ever ISW Dubcast. Keep paying attention to interspecieswrestling.com for next week's edition, where we hope to talk about the big main event, which again, Mike Rodge hopes to announce by the end of the week. Thank you again, and good night.
Suck my dick.